back to this podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out. Hello there. On quite a roll, I'd say. So somehow I've been able to carve time out to sit on this computer. Also, the motivation is there to sit down, listen, and edit things and do voiceovers of things past. And I had mentioned before that I was working this season to be a mishmash of people's opinions and thoughts and stories on certain topics, and this is part of that series. I did mention on the last bonus episode that I did that it was going to be difficult for me to consciously put up some of the material that we recorded because maybe our thought process could have changed in the time that we recorded it to now. And listening to it, honestly, was very straight to the point of who we are as people, like realizing who I was talking to and what the discussion was. Yeah, I mean, we're pretty straightforward with what we think and what we do. The first interview was Luis Cuevas, if you remember from the first time I tried to do this. He's also on a previous episode in season two. And he's the younger kid out of the crew of these interviews. He was a supervisor at the time in Texas and has since then moved out of Texas to go to the East Coast to go to college and grab a degree in food and health science, I believe is what it is. Luis will correct me later and I'll write in the notes if need be. But yeah, back then he was still fairly young to the industry, so it's nice to hear his point of view and what he sees and how he reacts when, you know, you're essentially just let down by the people around you, but need to keep pushing on. Then there's the conversation with Andrew Rodriguez, and at the time when we recorded this, he was had become the executive chef of a restaurant and was dealing with having to retrain staff, essentially, like get the basic standards out there of what he wanted in the restaurant and what his expectations would be. And when it came to the topic about, feeling hopeless with some people and, he laid down the bare bones of what is needed of a new cook or returning cooks with a new executive chef, and 100% agree with his point of view there. And the last interview that I did was with John Sedlak, which was another one of those two-hour recordings that we actually broke up into a four-hour session. Surprisingly, though, when we came to this topic, we were both spot-on precise with what we wanted to say and how we went about it. And there was very minimal amount of, like, veering off course, which was awesome to hear and very proud of us to do. So, to kind of bring it back, the topic is feeling hopeless or let down and having to like almost give up on people at times or ideas. And the reality of being in any job or industry is that sometimes you will get to that point where there are people that are just there for a paycheck. And then there's people there that want to do better and want to better their, I don't know, their careers or their lives, or just have like a decent work-life balance. Because if you can go to work and enjoy your day at any cost, whether it's just getting by, but, being polite to everybody, then that's perfectly fine. But there are those times where you have an idea for something, or it comes across as a better way of doing something, and you get let down because, it's just a disappointment. And more so, John Sedlak's story hits that point. But when it comes to like hourlies and people and dealing with them and their times of hopelessness, Lou says it best. Like, he's never really had that experience. Oh, before I get too far ahead of myself and start explaining things, I just want to say thank you if you've been listening along and being patient with me putting out these episodes. I know it's like far few in between, but noticing that there is quite a bit of people out there responding and listening in and checking out the new Instagram account, A Culinary Observation, and the website, aculinaryobservation.com. Thank you for that. There's a lot of new material up on that website. As far as videos, I have more videos that I'm discovering every day that are on hard drives, and I'm just posting up as much content as possible because why not, right? And also, thank you for just listening in. And, if any of this is interesting to you, I'm so glad that it is, because it's fun for me to do this, and I hope it's somewhat entertaining for you. And it's fun to interview people, and I thank everybody that has come on here and done anything with me. Thank you for your time. Thank you. I appreciate you carving out a little bit of your, you know, busy days to sit down and talk with me. So Luis, Andrew, Tom, Jordan, John, Anthony, everybody that's from season two and now that have helped out, and hopefully future people that will want to help out, you know, thank you, and I appreciate your time. So here we go. This is my interview section over this topic about hopelessness and feeling defeated with Luis Cuevas.
Once they stop listening to me and they just blow off my question, like once they give me the same answer they've been telling me, and I'm like having trouble with that answer, and they like blow me off, I'm just like, all right, I'll ask somebody else. So I'll do what I have to do.
Yeah. No. What about like somebody could be a great worker, and then they just get to that point where they're just like, they just stop producing. When do you know when to give up on them and just kind of move on?
I don't like giving up on people. I don't like to give up on people a lot. I've had a few workers here that just, I don't know where they just slack. And it's like, dude, like, I try to help them out and see what I could do to help them out and ask questions, you know? Mm-hmm. But I've never had that kind of, I've never had to deal with that.
And very lucky for him that he hasn't had to deal with giving up on people. It speaks to his character, to Lou's character of like always wanting to try and be helpful, be useful, be kind, and do the work and give people the opportunity to grow and show who they want to be and be who they want to be. And that's the one thing I've always enjoyed about working when I was working with Lou, was no matter how bad things could get, he was still in it to win it, and he just put everything, his personal feelings aside, to do the job. And he's a person that showed that he was definitely worth it and, you know, tried. Even though he was not so super skilled in the kitchen, he was, like, at the time learning all the basics, and but he tried. He did really well. You know, from time to time, you'd have to remind him about one or two things, but for the most part, he was one of the most ideal co-workers that you can have, and, you know, was one of those people that with my experience and him actually expressing wanting to, you know, at least ask questions and be like, hey, you know, if I do this, what's going to happen? Or like, how can I do this better? Or am I doing all right? And actually asking questions, it was super surprising and just very comforting. And it made my life so much easier. And especially once I learned how to properly make prep sheets, I felt like we were just, you know, rolling along. And it was all of that. Without him being who he was in that moment and wanting to, you know, inspire me to work harder and to actually, you know, make the flow of work better, I don't know. I could say so many nice things about Lou, and rightfully so. The guy has earned it. He's such a great person and one of those people that you look forward to work with. The next conversation that I have is with Andrew, and again, same question, you know, when to give up on people. And he had this really great moment of speaking his mind of exactly what is expected of when you're the new person in a kitchen. You have to lay out these standards and you have to be able to, you know, help people that have already been there understand the new way of things. So as the new executive chef of this restaurant that had already been, you know, there, he had his own ideas of this is how it should be because it's just right. And I totally agree with him with all of his thoughts. So this is that conversation with Andrew.
Dude, I've always had this in my head. Like, you give someone a couple weeks, if they're not going to get it within the first couple weeks, maybe months, then there's no hope.
Yeah.
One of the things I tell all of my cooks is, like, I'm really big on cleanliness and organization. If you walk in and you just, like, you start prepping and you just put all your shit into the dish pit and you can't organize things, pull off stickers, oh, fuck the dishwasher. First off, the dishwasher is like the heart and soul of the kitchen.
Absolutely.
If you don't have a dishwasher, you're going to be back there. You're going to be washing dishes. Or I have to be back there. I have to be washing dishes. It's like, that's a really big part to me. Like, I've told my cooks this because they're like, oh, well, we want to do menu development. And I'm like, let's get the basics down first. Let's get this situated first, and let's get your job done first. And it was always beaten into my head, like, coming up as like a cook, sous chef, production is always first. Before you start playing around, before you start like doing anything else, production. Handle your shit first, and then we can go from there. And if you can't get that into your head at all, like, you're not going to get anywhere. Yeah, because you're going to go somewhere else, and I've told my cooks now, you're going to go somewhere else and you're going to get eaten alive and you're not going to have a job. But yeah, like, I would give up on people, like, if they just, like, can't get the basics down first. And that's organization, cleanliness, looking out for the person next to you. Because at the end of the day, we're all a team. We're all a machine.
Couldn't have said it better. Teamwork is so crucial to what we do. I think in any industry, it is the most crucial thing you can build with your job, is being able to get along with people, being able to understand each other and their needs, and being able to work together to get the day done. It only makes it easier, and it only feels a lot better when everybody puts their best in and at least just does, like he says, the basics of, you know, ripping off stickers when you're putting them away. The little basic things that coming into this industry you should know is in that right there. So the last conversation is with John Sedlak. And like I said, he and I stayed really well on topic. Yeah, he just goes through the motions of what it's like to feel personally disappointed and feel defeated that you have to give up on doing what you like the most because you're just questioning, is this even worth it, kind of thoughts. And then the second half is about, the employees that work for us. And from then to now, it makes so much more sense. I'll leave it at that. This is that conversation with John.
Well, I know one particular time, and I think you know some of the players in it, but back in the day, they used to do these little quesadillas. But they were actually a burrito. They weren't really a quesadilla. But it had pulled brisket. It was braised brisket. It took forever. The brisket took like 14 hours. You had to make the crema, chop the onions and the cilantro, and it was an ordeal. They were first on our a la carte menu, so we maybe sold one or two pans per event. You know, and our suites were holding 32, so we would make 35. So 90 of those weren't bad. You know, we could shortcut things, but then they put it on a package. So that means we probably had to make 3,000 of them.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know, we were like, okay, they ordered all the brisket. Well, we were going to braise the brisket in the tilts overnight. We came in, something happened, and the kettle was sitting at probably 110 degrees for God knows how long. Yeah, So we had an emergency situation, so we bought out a pre-made whole brisket, which we basically braised for maybe an hour and a half till we could pull it. And after that, I went up to our regional chef at the time or whatever, and I was like, hey, taste this product. He tasted it. He said, man, that's good. Is this our recipe? I says, well, technically it's our recipe, but we're using a buyout product. We're skipping 14 hours worth of labor, and really yield wise, we're only spending maybe $1.80 per pound. I did the math. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to shoot my mouth out. And he was like, huh, well, it's a spec product. I'm okay with it. So I went to my next boss and I said, hey, this is that product. It's that buyout. It's the whole thing. Taste it. It's good. I've got the okay to sub this out. I'll write a new recipe for it, blah, blah, blah. And flat out was no.
Aww.
It's like, well, why? And, you know, he's like, well, because we do stuff from scratch here. And I explained to him and I said, yes, that is true. But these recipes are for a very, for a smaller venue, not us. I said, here's the math. And till I was blue in the face, then I kind of saw what a good leader was my chef's boss said, hey, this is your operation. I'm going to support whatever your decision is. You know, he didn't step on his toes, but I kind of fought, you know, and I would make snide remarks for a long time about that. And because it was ridiculous, you know, to me, it was ridiculous. It was a no brainer for whatever reason. I don't know whether it was because, you know, they were relatively new when they took over our business and they wanted to, you know, assert dominance, but it really kind of pissed me off. And I kind of withdrew back to, I wasn't an asshole or anything, but I stopped kind of trying to innovate for a long time because I was like, you know, why bother? It's not going to really matter to them. I brought them, you know, it's a good idea. But that was just one thing that I can remember.
Yeah, that's it's defeating.
Yes. So with people, you can give on those, you can give up on people that kind of give up on themselves. You know, the no call, no shows, they basically work themselves out of a job. You know, my F&B would always say, and I'm sure there's other ones that say, listen, we don't fire you, you fire yourselves. Mm-hmm. I inherited a line cook that was just the sweetest guy. He was just the nicest guy. He had been there for, I think, 12 years, started out as a dishwasher. He did an okay job on the line for the restaurant, but he could not work by himself. He would do one thing at a time, and he would haphazardly put his tickets up. You know, it was just a mess.
Yeah, no organization.
Yeah, so I'm like, Jeff, did nobody – well, let's just call him Jeff. You know, I said, did nobody ever show you how to work your line and work your tickets and do multiple things? And then he says, well, yeah, we have. I said, well, listen, we're getting ready to redo this whole menu. I said, I will work with you for a couple weeks straight and, you know, work you through the new menu. And it should be a lot easier, a lot streamlined. He just could not get it. He just did not understand like a flow. Or how to, you know, okay, this is frozen. You got to put this down first. Put your, you know, you've got five burgers. You got two mediums, one rare, one well. You know, it's like you'd put them all on at the same time. We'd get burgers sent back all the time. And I felt so bad because it's like we were going to move them over to banquets. And they were like, yeah, no, he started over in banquets. You know, he needs constant supervision. So I'm like, how did he survive 12 years here? You know, you guys aren't doing him any favors, but he was such a nice guy. And I was like, Jeff, what's your motivation? I mean, what do you want? He's like, I just want to make $16 an hour. I said, that's it? He said, yeah. He had in his mind, like, if he made $16 an hour, that was his personal goal or whatever. He in 12 years, he hadn't even made like a lead line cook.
Yeah.
You know, if you go talk to HR about it and like, well, listen, if he's not working out, then you need to write him up for things. And I had only been there for a year and I knew he had no future. He could just basically do what he was barely doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, luckily I didn't have to fire him. We figured something out. It wasn't ideal, but really he should have been let go a long time ago. Yeah. Because, you know, people that you have other people that have to work with him on the line, have to kind of cover for him. It affects the wait staff. It affects their tips. And really people just need to be cut loose or find something that they are good at, because you're not good at cooking at all. So
yeah, he said it. I mean, it's a harsh reality when you're the person that has to make those decisions for other people. And we want everybody to succeed. When you're overseeing other hourly people and you're a salary manager, the goal is for you to be successful, so therefore the business can be successful and everybody enjoys their time there. That should be, at least in my mind, that's the goal. What happens in between, it's just things to work on. And from Lou's point of view of being the supervisor, having to watch and observe and try to get as much information out of the people that they actually need it from and not getting it and being defeated, that it is awful, especially when you're not the type of person to give up on people. But like I said, he's a great character. He has great character, put it that way. And it shows and it shines every time I've ever worked with him. With Andrew, as the new executive chef at that time, setting those standards is pretty basic, but comes with a daunting task from time to time, because you are dealing with people that have been doing things a certain way. And to this day, I will agree that that is very difficult to do, but it is possible to build those bridges. It just takes time and development, and I think he can agree to that. And with John, having been there, having seen that, it's interesting to hear his stories and see his point of view on things, especially the first story was much of, yeah, I knew a lot of what was going on around that time, which is fun for me to listen to. And I'm sure some of you out there know what he's talking about, especially now that I've seen who's listening to this podcast a little bit more. But in the second story, that really just speaks to me because of where I'm at now. And from that time to now, the story still holds true. And I hope that people that are looking to join this industry to take these stories as like cautionary tales to improve themselves and be mindful of the things that you do and who you are while you're at work. If you're just there for a paycheck, just let it be known that that's what you're there for. But if you're there to like really want to try, grow, or enjoy at least your experience of while you're in the kitchen with us, then please just come in and do that, because I feel that's what we should be looking forward to. If you're going to apply for the job, be ready to put it in. But understand that from our point of view, if you're good, we're good. And if there's anything I can do to make your life better, I'm going to do that, especially if you're good. All right. So thank you so much once again for checking in on this podcast. Thank you for checking out this mishmash that I've done. Hopefully it played well and it was entertaining. I have still more topics to go through, and hopefully with this new inspiration, I can get through them and put some more content up there. So once again, thank you. Please be safe while you're out there in the world. Thank you again, and goodbye.